Yo, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Mostly Low Budget Movie Reviews with Clarence. Thank you for tuning in. It's time for another weekend review, and actually I'm getting this one out early instead of late, because I do have another movie I want to watch and get up, and kind of had time to do this one right now, so here we are. And I decided to do this one. I was scrolling through my phone looking at some headlines, and the headline of this one that came up, it said, the best horror movie of 2021. Well, I mean, the year just started, so, I mean, that's not saying a whole lot, but it did get my attention. Now, after reading what this one was about, it had me even more intrigued. It's called The Vigil, which, you know, was limited release overseas. I believe it came out in, like, was made in 2019. It came out last year from the good people at Blumhouse. Doesn't appear to have a very large budget, but there were some supporting actors and things you've seen before. Can't think of them off the top of my head, but you'll see. You've seen these guys before. Now, it boasts some pretty unique elements I don't think I've ever seen put on the screen before, but it contains ancient Jewish lore and demonology, which I know nothing about the Jewish lore part of it, so I was super excited to see this one. And you guys know how I feel about original content, so yeah, let's get into it. What is this one about? Well, the movie starts out by giving us the definition of what this vigil is. It's when someone in the Jewish community dies, in this Hasidic Jewish community, I should say. They watch over the body around the clock in shifts, and, you know, by someone called a shomer or a watchman. Forgive me if I'm pronouncing that wrong. And they recite psalms to comfort the deceased soul and protect them from evil. Now, this is normally done by, like, a family member or a close friend, but sometimes they hire, you know, like I said, a watchman or a shomer. So, it gives us this definition. Then we see several young people sitting at a table discussing what their life has been like, and it sounds odd because they're discussing some very basic things, and then you find out they all decided to leave their Hasidic Jewish community that they lived in and kind of like live like regular people. And one guy named Yaakov, excuse me for butchering his name again. If I'm pronouncing this stuff wrong, forgive me. He seems to be having a lot of issues, and he can't seem to find a job, and he can't seem to kind of assimilate with society and all that stuff. So, you know, he's having some issues. Now, as he's leaving, you know, he runs to his former rabbi who asks him if he could be a shomer for a few hours. And, you know, the guy that he hired suddenly left and, you know, didn't say why, but he ran out in fear, he said. Now, being low on funds, you know, he reluctantly accepts this job. So they get there and the wife of the deceased is there. She sees him and she's like, dude, you got to leave right away. But, you know, they kind of brush her off because she has dementia, and, you know, they kind of just leave that where it is. Now, she goes upstairs, and he's downstairs by himself with the body, and almost immediately, he starts hearing things and noises and all this other kind of stuff, and some other things happen, spoiler free, I'm not going to get into any of that, but he does decide to take a little nap, and when he wakes up, you know, he's looking at his phone, and he gets this message, and on the phone message, it's a video, and it's of him sleeping in the room wearing the same stuff he has on right then and there, and he's in the same chair, and it looks like, you know, in the video, they're approaching, or someone's approaching, and that's where I'm gonna stop. And simply put, the rest of the night is spent trying to understand what's really going on and what he's supposed to do. Now, what did the pros think about this one? Well, they came in at a very high 89% with the audience at a 45% on the Rotten scale. So there's a really big divide on this one. And, yeah, so we need to figure out where the disconnect was. So, and see which way I'm leaning on this one. So let's start with the positives. You know, I'm not even going to touch the basics because all that stuff is good here. The atmosphere they created the second that you walk in that house was pretty intense. I felt uncomfortable immediately, like I was in that room with him. Now, this is one of those movies with just a couple of locations, you know, with most of it taking place in this one house. And when they do that, you have to use the environment and everything to your advantage. And they do an excellent job of that here. Everything is in its place. And they, you know, way the camera frames everything. I mean, they did a really good job there. I usually don't go for the jump scares, and actually, I don't even call them jump scares. If you heard me before, I'll call them startle scares. Because, again, I'm broken record here. You're not scared. You're just startled. Now, what they did here, it did fit nicely here because they weren't overdone. Because the way jump scares normally work, the way they did the sound and the music, here they kept you uneasy the whole time. So, where in other movies, they make it like super quiet, then they throw something on the screen and play a loud noise and, you know, makes you jump. Again, you're not scared, you're just startled because they just did that. Now, they didn't do that here. Sometimes the sound or music would be cranked up and you hear all these noises and things, and then you're waiting for it, but then nothing happens. They do that a bunch of times here, so you kind of were kept off balance and you didn't know if they were trying to throw something at you or not. And that was a really refreshing change from just being quiet and then playing a loud noise and, you know, yeah. But anyway, I would be remiss without, you know, touching on the story a little bit. Now, this story is about loss, tragedy, and how you cope with it. Now, they use this demon as a vehicle, and I'm not even going to get into any of the demon stuff or the lore and all that, so you can go into that completely fresh. But what I got from it, you can face your demons or you can let them control you and feed your grief, basically. So it was refreshing to see characters and backstories that I'm not accustomed to seeing. But that's kind of where my negative starts. Now, with the promise of something completely original, this was not it. Yeah, it does lean heavily on very familiar territory. Other than the Hasidic Jewish background and the demon, this was just like a lot of other movies of this type. This was listed as a horror, but it's really more of a psychological thriller. There wasn't a whole lot of scary stuff about this one. Some creepy moments here and there, but this is really low on scares. And while it's only 90 minutes, which is kind of the sweet spot for these kind of movies, I felt like this one was probably about 7 to 10 minutes too long. Since there really was no build up to this, like an epic ending, which a lot of these movies usually have, you know what's going on. Once the third act gets there, you kind of just say, okay, well, go ahead. Let me see how this is going to play out. So there was a little bit of fluff there, but I don't want to beat this one up too much. Let me bottom line this one for you. Did I enjoy it? Yes, I did. This was pretty good. I would put this one right at an 80% to stay consistent on the rotten scale. Now, I'm not as enamored with it as the professionals, but this was a pretty solid psychological thriller. I mean, it did have the demon in there. I guess that's why they put it some horror on the back end of that, calling it a horror movie. But it's really not that. And I think that is the number one contributor to these low scores from the audience. I did take a little peek, and it seems like, you know, a lot of people were expecting horror. And, yeah, this is not what you're going to get here. So it was advertised as something that it's not. And since it's not really scary, you can't even call it a slow burn horror. Because they're like, there's no, usually slow burns, you know, start out slow, they build and creep and creep and creep, like that roller coaster going up that first drop. This is not that here. You're just kept in a certain level and you just stay there and then, you know, the movie ends. This isn't that kind of a movie. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good movie. But going to it expecting, you know, very good performances, some creepy atmosphere, a couple of jump scares here and there, and a very solid story, and you won't be disappointed. But if you're expecting those heavy horror elements and some gore and scary and a body count and all this kind of stuff, you're going to be very disappointed. Don't go into there thinking about horror. Go into this more thinking psychological thriller, and you should enjoy this one. And with that being said, I'm going to close it out right here. If this is your first time, don't make it your last. This has been a Podbean production. Definitely check me out on that platform, Podbean, as well as other streaming platforms, pretty much up on everything else. Instagram, mostly low-budget movie reviews. Facebook, have a companion page there. I kind of post all my links and everything. So, yeah, different ways to get to the links if you don't, you know, subscribe or sign up for Podbean. But you can definitely do that as well. But, yeah, I am going to be getting into another movie this weekend. But I will... Not sure how that's going to work out again. As you know, I like to say life happens. But yeah, thank you very much again for tuning in. And I will see you guys next time. Peace.